For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So tonight we're looking at our God, the great healer. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you. We look to you for everything. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And we ask that tonight you show yourself in great strength and power through your word, through your spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. One thing I've noticed in the particularly manifested in this current environment that we're living in is a great fear of sickness, fear of disease, fear of infirmity. But I think that's a very big obstacle in many people's lives in terms of having manifested healing, or even what we would call in the Lord, having sickness taken from the midst of us and having health, living in health. So I just want to go through a few scriptures in Psalm 34. Let's start from verse 1 of Psalm 34. And I want you to see how we as people of faith must approach this, because if we acknowledge that the Lord is our great healer, then we must have our souls renewed to be looking to him and to be magnifying him in our lives. And if there are things like symptoms or reports that come out, things like that, we look to God first, always. And that's very, very important, because the devil is all about trying to get fear. He uses his fiery darts, trying to get fear into the hearts of people. The battleground is in the soul, and if he can get your soul so that it's not prospering, and you know that scripture, 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." If he can get your soul so it's not prospering, then it'll affect your health and prosperity. So one of the big keys, I believe, is to magnify the Lord rather than the problem. Let's have a look in Psalm 34, starting from verse 1. Now notice the wording here, just in verse 1. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So think about that. This is a lifestyle. It's a way we must live, blessing the Lord at all times. Blessing the Lord at all times. Well, when you start to get into that way of thinking and that way of acting, then fear starts to shift out of your thinking and out of your life. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. One praise that we can give is, "Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord that healeth me. You heal me. Thank you that you are the healer in my life." And you can say those type of things, and specifically confess, believe and confess the word of God, even when or if there are symptoms or various infirmities in your body or things like that, even if you're around people that might be infectious or whatever, you still say, "Thank you, Lord. I praise you and thank you that you have healed me by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ." Things like that. I think we've got to get our hearts right and our thoughts thinking on the Lord, and therefore it'll come out of our mouths, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Let's continue on. Notice straight away he talks about the soul in verse 2. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Isn't that what I've been saying? Make her boast in the Lord. So it starts in the soul that you are looking to the Lord, you are magnifying the Lord, you are seeking the Lord. It starts in the soul, in the heart. And notice it says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now, a humble person is one that bows their knee to the Lord and says, your word is right, no matter what. And that's the way we've got to be. Your word is glorified in my life. And this next verse really shows us what we should be focusing on in our lives. So if people are focusing, and many, many do, you know, we're talking about a vast majority of people in our society are focusing on the reports in the media, the things that they hear, the things that they see through the internet and so on, the people around them that might be speaking into their lives. Some of those people around them might be very educated people. But God says this in verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And I believe that, the church should be a sanctuary where we can do that. And then we go out into our personal lives, and we're still doing that because we've learnt. We've learnt in the church about the fear of the Lord, about how to walk by faith. We've learnt proper things of the Lord, just as we're learning tonight. Can I say that by faith? So when it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord," it's concentrating on what the Lord is, who he is, and specifically we're talking tonight, he is the great healer, who he is, and what are we doing if we're magnifying the Lord? We're shifting our focus away from the negative. We're shifting our focus away from fearing sickness or fearing infirmity or shifting our focus away from things that might be ailing our body, and we're saying, "I magnify the Lord." And notice what it says in verse 4, and it's all related. All of these verses are related together. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." So a very good thing to say, and particularly if you've got a fear in a particular area. And let's just take the fear of sickness, for example, or the fear of disease, and even, you know, can apply it to what we have around us today. And we can say, "Lord, I seek you. I magnify you in my life in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you have delivered me from all my fears, including the fear of sickness or disease." So you name that fear and you say, "Thank you, Lord, you have delivered me. You have delivered me from all my fears, including the fear of sickness or disease." Now, if you don't believe that, and I exhort you to look at the scripture, meditate on it, get it into your heart, and start to speak it in your life. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15. We'll start from verse 22 in Exodus 15. Now, I do know, and you're very aware of this, that there are many churches that do not preach about healing or health. So the people stay at a very low level of knowledge and understanding, or have a very distorted understanding or doctrine about healing that comes from God. They tend to think of it as a hit and miss type thing, whereas I'm talking about the Word of God is all about, it's God's will for us to be healed. It's in salvation. The devil will target our soul to get us off of thinking on the right things in order to take us away from our foundation or our salvation and our victory that we have in Christ. Looking at Exodus 15, start from verse 22 of Exodus 15. Exodus 15, 22. And you know about the children of Israel coming out of, obviously coming out of Egypt. And it says in verse 23, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Okay, where's their focus? They're being ungrateful, aren't they? They've just been delivered. And they can't even look to the Lord and say, "Lord, we ask you to do something about this." No, they start murmuring and complaining. Let me encourage you not to do that type of thing in your life, but to praise. Remember what we talked about from Psalm 34. "His praise shall be continually be in my mouth." So I exhort you to be looking at that way of approaching things. So they murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" As though God couldn't supply. Verse 25, "And he cried unto the Lord." So where was Moses' focus? To join in with their murmuring and complaining and think, "Oh, woe is us, we're never going to get anywhere." No, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So, you know, the Lord provided. You know, you might say, well, some sort of chemical thing, you know, add this ingredient from this particular tree and it'll counteract the bitterness of the water. And that's probably what it was. But the fact is that Moses looked to the Lord for the solution. And that solution came. Praise the Lord. What does that say for us? Remember what we read in Psalm 34? "Seek the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." So what should our focus be? We should be magnifying the Lord, shouldn't we? We should be looking to him first. And, you know, I could go through dozens of examples where that very thing, an attack has come against my body or my soul, and now I wasn't always perfect in this, obviously. I had to learn of the Lord. But now, because I go to the Lord first, it's much easier to walk by faith. So you've got and it's against the grain, as I said right at the beginning, it's against the grain of most of our society. Verse 26, "And said," so there he proved them, "and said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God.'" So what's he doing? He's getting them to focus on the Lord. He's getting them away from, "Oh, woe, and is this," and murmuring about things and so on, complaining. And he's seeking for them to focus on the Lord, to look to him, and to listen to him. Okay, to listen to him. How do we listen to the Lord? Well, it's through his word, as the Spirit leads us, and prayerfully considering and meditating on his word and taking it into our hearts in belief, you know, eating it, so to speak, spiritually. We must be people like that. So verse 26 then said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken..." Oh, I've got to stop there. Diligently, diligently. We saw the words continually. Continually in Psalm 34. Diligently. Diligently. Okay, so you can't be this stop-start type Christian. You've got to be, as Paul said, "I press toward, I press." You've got to be a person that presses even against the things that might be trying to press back against you. "I press toward. Diligently, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do It's not just hearing, is it? And we'll do that which is right in his sight, and we'll give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we know that we have the same Lord today. We have a covenant that's better. We have a better covenant, the Bible tells us. We have the Lord today who is the healer. So our focus, our magnification should be that he is the Lord that heals us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now thee is singular, you singular. And of course we know, you know, the wonderful accuracy of the King James Bible, that he's not just talking about all of them, he's specifically talking to us personally here. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Verse 27, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water. So God even led them to where there were wells of water. Okay, 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. So here we see a progression, and a progression that can happen in our lives too. We can be people that are murmuring, complaining, focusing on all the wrong things, but if we will just listen to what the Lord says. In fact, I encourage you to go back and look at Psalm 34 verses 1 to 4 again. In fact, read the whole of Psalm 34, but look at those in this context. And understand that we need to get our focus away from fears, worries, disease, sickness, and so on. Now, we know what people would say. They'll say, yes, but they're real. And we're not denying that the sickness, disease, infirmities, etc. are real. Yes, of course they're real. What we must do, though, is magnify the Lord and seek him as our healer, as the one who provides strength. And that's right through our lives, right through our Christian life. Have a look at Mark 1, and we'll look at verses 38 to 42. Now, there are people who have problems with, is it God's will to heal me? Is it God's will to heal me? And, you know, Jesus made a statement here in Mark 1, which shows the willingness of God to heal his people. You know, we have now preached many, many sermons at Victory Faith Centre about healing and health. And let me encourage you, there's many on the website, that you can grab any of those and start to listen to them and feed your spirit, so that faith, which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, faith can arise in your heart. And there's many people who have had the testimony where they've exposed themselves to the Word and they've allowed the Word to come into their heart and they've believed the Word and they've, as I said before, eaten the Word spiritually and taken it and believed it and acted upon it. There's many, many people who have a testimony of God's healing manifest in their lives through doing that rather than focusing on all other things, all other distractions. So let's have a look at Mark 1, and we'll look at verse 38, first of all, 38 to 42. And verse 38 says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Now, let me just pause there. Jesus thought that preaching was very important. Can everyone understand that? I have heard people say, oh, don't preach to me, or we shouldn't be preaching, you know, it puts people off and all that type of thing. Now listen, if Jesus thought preaching was important, we should think preaching is important, because it's a way, well, the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And salvation covers not just being saved from going to hell, it covers the whole man, spirit, soul and body. So preaching was something that Jesus did all the time in his ministry, and we see this example here. Verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So he's preaching the word, he's preaching the truth. Obviously, he wants to get people to believe what he says. Okay? And that's very important. Verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's a common question, or common statement. If God wills, he can heal me. You've got to settle it in your heart. There's many scriptures which indicate that it is God's will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. So what did Jesus say to this leper? And leprosy was a flesh-eating, I should say, is a flesh-eating disease. What did he say to the leper? I will, be thou clean. Okay. You could see that in Jesus there was zero amount of fear, because he touched him. Okay. And you think about it, touching a contagious disease like leprosy is not encouraged by anyone. What we see here is that he had no fear in him. We shouldn't have fear in us. And as you know, what we can see here is that it is God's will for healing to take place. I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, so this man was hearing the preaching. He came, and it says there came a leper to him. To him. Where did he come to? To Jesus. To Jesus. Okay? Beseeching him and kneeling down to him. He came to Jesus. He must have heard about Jesus, the healer. He must have understood that people were getting healed by hearing the word, believing what Jesus was saying. And then, as Jesus moved, as he says there, moved with compassion, things were done. I will, be thou clean. So let's get in our hearts that it is the will of God for people to be clean. Let's have a look at Luke 13. This is another example of God's will for people to be restored. And it's a good thing, as I said before, to put the scriptures into your mouth. Say, thank you, Lord, you are my healer. By the stripes of Jesus I was healed. Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. But we've got to get our souls renewed and focused and prospering. I believe when we have our souls prospering, the word can take effect in our hearts. Remember, you're exposing yourself now to the word of healing being preached, being taught. Luke 13, and we'll look at verses 10 to 17 of Luke 13. God is speaking to his people. Even in this time, as I said, this time of fear and this great time of fear, even amongst Christians, unfortunately, or sadly, I should say, when there should be all the more people seeking the Lord and magnifying the Lord. And talk about Christians. Luke 13, 10 to 17. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Well, here he is again, teaching and preaching. Do you think that was a big part of his ministry? It certainly was, wasn't it? And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman. So where was she? She was in the synagogue. She was listening. She heard the teaching. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Praise the Lord. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. So where was this person's focus? Not on wanting to get people free or healed. Okay. And certainly wasn't discerning the word properly, as Jesus pointed out in the 15th verse here. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So we can see that healing comes under the category of glorious things or glorious works, because it gives glory to God. And isn't that what happened when she was healed? She glorified God in verse 13. But notice that a couple of things here I want you to see. You know, there is an oppression that comes from the enemy getting ground at times, and that has to be recognized. And the other thing that we need to recognize is that we are children of Abraham. Okay, the word tells us that we are the children of Abraham. And if this lady, well, this woman had been bound 18 years, and think about a person who's been bound 18 years in an infirmity. Obviously, this was something that was causing her so that she was bowed down and couldn't get up. So, it's easy to say that physical condition was caused by this, this, and this. Yes, that's fine to say that, but in a lot of these things, there's also spiritual things that need to be dealt with. Okay. Now, Jesus said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? What was he saying? She's a daughter of Abraham, and it's God's will for her to be loosed, okay, or healed. It's God's will. God's will. It's God's will for his people, as children of Abraham, to be loosed, to be healed, to be free, to be healthy. So you need to settle that in your heart. It's God's will. And I'm a child of Abraham is a good confession. I'm a child of Abraham. Glory to God. And you can read about Abraham. And we won't have time to look at it tonight. But obviously he was a man of faith. And we have to approach all these things by faith. That's why I'm talking about magnifying the Lord and getting it into your heart. Magnifying the Lord so that you're not magnifying the problems. You're not magnifying various negative reports. Sure, there's sickness and disease all around us. There's people who are sick and bound all around us. What is God's will for us? And what is God directing us to do but to look to Him, to seek Him, to magnify Him, to get the Word of God into our heart more and more? And I mentioned, it might be better to each day listen to a sermon rather than plunk yourself in front of a TV program. Would it be really difficult to listen to a sermon, half hour sermon, perhaps more, each day? But the thing that I'm getting at is our focus needs to change. And I'm talking not just about healing here, but our focus has to be upon the Lord. That's why I've called it tonight, Our God, the Great Healer. Or our great healer. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just a couple more scriptures I think we should go through. Look at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. There's various ways that the Lord has put for us to be healed. Obviously, believing the word and applying it to your life is a big, big way. Exposing yourself to the word of God. You can believe the word about the laying on of hands. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. So you can say, when I have hands laid on me according to the word of God, I will receive my healing and start recovering from that time forward in the name of Jesus. You know, it's a good thing to believe. Looking at Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, our focus, attention, magnification on the Lord and His words. And notice what it says, My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now when you look, we've got to be honest here, when you look at verses 20 and 21, it should indicate to us that you need to give a significant amount of priority to the words of God. A significant amount of priority. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Are we people that read the Word constantly? Are we people that focus on the Word of God to get it into the midst of our heart? I believe we should be. We should be. And the preaching here is along that line, to continually be glorifying the Word of God. Verse 22, for what? The words, the sayings. It says words and sayings in verse 20. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. What happens if we really believed that? Well, I believe our attention would be greatly upon the Word of God. And it's good to see us all here tonight, there should be many, many more packing into here, eager to hear the word of God. I'm not exaggerating here. But they have all types of other things to do, even those. And there's many, many that know that this service exists. Okay? But they have all types of other things to do. So it's a good thing to see you here, because you have put time out of your life. You put time to concentrate on the Word of God and to hear the preaching of the Word. Let's have a look, and I just want to finish with Mark 10, verses 46 to 52 of Mark 10. And God is working on us constantly so that we are growing in the knowledge of His will and being filled with the knowledge of His will. I think He's working on us constantly to make sure that we're attending, focusing on Him, magnifying Him. The enemy wants to get us away from that way of thinking. So we're looking at Mark 10. So from verse 46 of Mark 10, and we'll go to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, talk about Jesus, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of mercy, thou son of David, have mercy on me." So let's just stop there for a minute. Why would you call out to Jesus of Nazareth unless you knew that He could have mercy on you in the healing area? He must have heard something. He must have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and believed it. Verse 48. This is a common situation where many people try to come against the focus or the looking to the Lord. They want to get you. You can take this as a type, if you like, where situations, devils, men, all types of things want to get your attention away from the Lord. And verse 48 says, "And many charged Him that He should hold His peace, but He cried the more a great deal, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.'" So healing is in God's mercy. Something to remember. Healing is in God's mercy. And a good thing to confess, to believe and confess, is that "Your goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life, and Your mercy compasses me about." That's what the Scripture says. And that includes Your healing mercy, compasses me about. Praise the Lord. "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" So Jesus went against the crowd, the many that were saying that he should hold his peace, because this man was focusing on the Lord. "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." Now many have made a, I won't say doctrine, but they've made a point of the fact that Bartimaeus cast away his garment, as though he's expecting no more to be a blind man. And he had this particular garment which showed that he was a blind man. There may be something in that. But the fact is that he obeyed Jesus. Can you see what I'm saying? He obeyed Jesus. because Jesus called for him to come and rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus, verse 51, and Jesus answering and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now, there's believing and there's receiving. Okay? And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We can believe and receive, okay, and that's the faith way. We won't turn to it, but Matthew 21:22 says, "Believing ye shall receive." Believing ye shall receive. So I'm going to give an opportunity for people to be prayed for, and I want you to believe the scripture which tells us they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And you can say within yourself or out loud, I don't mind, "I believe that when I get hands laid on me and prayed over for healing, I'll receive my healing in the name of Jesus." So you're believing the word, aren't you? That's one way to receive your healing. We went through the fact that it's God's will for us to be healed and healthy. We are children of Abraham. You know, we can be loosed from bonds. It's God's will for us to be free. So let's bow our heads and let's just calm ourselves before the Lord, quieten our hearts. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your wonderful healing that you have provided for your people through the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has bought and paid for, that redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We praise you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that every person here be awakened and helped and shown concerning what has been preached in the name of Jesus, and that, Father, your will be done in our lives, that healing be manifested in Jesus' name.